Happy Father's Day. If you're fortunate enough to have your dad still around, take advantage of that, as we're going to see. It doesn't mean that just there had to be a good dad for you to honor them. And that's exactly what we want to look at this morning. I'm kind of old school. I know I'm not as old as other ones, but I still have that old school. I'm kind of a depression kid mentality. Do y'all know what that means? My dad was born in 1923. So he was grew up in a depression in a farming community where, you know, almost starved to death. And so a lot of that came from him to me still. So I'm looked at as a dinosaur in a lot of ways that I think. And he graduated fifth grade as far as he ever got to go, and then worked the rest of his life. And never got to finish high school, never went to college, didn't have a doctorate, but he could do things that I can't do to this day. He could go down to the bank and borrow money on his name. Not that I have a bad name. That ain't what I'm saying, all right? But it's a different world that we live in, and what happened is what we're going to look at today, because generations have not taught their children to honor their authority figures, especially mom and dad. We are where we are today. He taught that to us by example. He grew up, his dad died in his arms when he was not even 50 years old, because his dad was, he sold liquor and made liquor and drank liquor and just mean. But my dad never took that on. My uncle told me things about my granddad, because he was dead before before I was born. But my uncle told me things that I never heard my dad talk bad about his dad, even though he was very, very mean. But my uncle, later on in his life, by the help of Jesus, he got to the place where he could forgive his dad for treating my grandmother so bad. And he said for so many years he could not even look at his picture, because he hated him for the way he had treated my grandmother, because he was always fighting and abusive because he was alcoholic. But he got to the point through Jesus' help that he forgave him before he died. If you don't know who I am and you see me kind of back in that tendency, that's what it is. That's that influence, and I don't apologize for it. Unfortunately, I may be harder than normal sometimes, but that's some of the reason why. Honor your father. It was the fifth commandment, and then it was reemphasized in Deuteronomy, as we're going to see. But I put something else in there. Why is it not showing up? I don't understand that. Y'all didn't erase any of my slides, did you? No, it's not in there. What it was, I wanted you to read them. What it was, there was eight things that you would never hear an old school dad say. Things like, well, son, you mean you want to play football? You mean to tell me you'd rather not do figure skating or ballet? You know, that kind of stuff. You know, your mom and I are going to go out of town. This would be a great weekend to have a party. Or, honey, his daughter, you're turning 13. Now you can go out on dates unchaperoned, and it'll be fine. That kind of stuff. How about this one? No offense, guys. You mean to tell me you don't have an earring? You're the only one in this family that doesn't have it. You get your stuff. Let's go to the mall and get your earring. You just wouldn't hear that from old school dads. There's a few more that I'll spare you. No. But that's it. But that's what we're going to look at. Honor your father. And unfortunately, and this is just the way it is, if you're a white male in America right now, you're the scum of the earth. From a media perspective, that's where we're viewed. Doesn't matter, you know, unfortunately, you said that's exactly the way the media cast us. So some of that is our fault as men, and that's what we're going to look at. God gave the Ten Commandments, and if you remember, as we're going to read, the first four talked about honoring God, and seeing him as the authority figure. And then the very next one, logically, is to the parents. Chapter 20:12 of Exodus says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God gives you. And we'll see it again in just a moment. He reemphasizes it in Deuteronomy chapter 5, because that's the first time it's mentioned about a promise. The prior four commandments were all concerned, 1, 2, 3, 4, what God says about himself, were concerned with the necessity of honoring God as a basic means of keeping his covenant. That's exactly what he taught them. This is the way it is. This is how I am. I have no other gods before me. And all of it was about honoring him and obeying him, seeing him as the authority figure. Okay? And then he comes along with this one in the one we just read. This commandment follows logically because it is concerned with honoring the parents who have the awesome role in the family of representing God to their children. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes we forget, especially while they're young, we really are God to the children. You know, that's exactly what our role is. And that's exactly what God is. He wants to make sure that we understand, that our kids understand for generations to come how that works. The term honor actually means to treat with significance. It actually translates to be weighty, where they have some weight. They have some authority. They are significant. You need to pay attention and be careful how that works. Thomas Blackwood said that his father was in a large company, and they transferred him to Japan. And he was always a hard worker, so he would work a lot of late after 5 o'clock days. And what he noticed was everyone in the office worked till he worked. And what he finally understood was they have such a honor or respect for authority and people over them that none of them would dare leave the office while he was there. So what he did was he would say out loud, goodbye, when it got 5 o'clock, pick up his stuff, walk around the block, come back to his office, and everybody's gone. But they wouldn't dare leave out of respect that if he, our leader, is going to work, we're going to work. In a sense, that's what that is. They have to learn to respect, and unfortunately, all the things I said has been happening I'm 58, I graduated high school in 76, it's been going downhill since then. You know, we were taught in school, not in school, we were taught by our parents in school to respect anyone over us. And no offense to you if you're not from the South, okay? But we were taught with a passion. Respect meant yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That's what that meant. And I know if you're not from this part of the country, you say, well, that doesn't mean it. Well, that's what it means here. So what happens even then, when kids in our school would say, yeah, uh-oh. Even the principal said, what'd you say? Why? Because they were taught to understand you respect people, and that's just a way that you respect them. I don't know how you do it in other parts of the world. And now, boy, did we see it last week? Yeah, no, and act like they got a block. Oh, that was one of the other things I'm going to tell you. You'll never see one of these old school dads say to his children, you know, all your friends seem to have a block on their shoulder and hate everything. I like that. Yeah? Always got somebody that they're against. I like that. You're not going to see that. So in that, however you teach respect. And that's exactly what he says. Care of one's elderly parents was a basic part of social responsibility and godly piety in Israel. And that's what it was about. It was about them respecting their parents. Why? Because they needed to look after them. And if you do not respect them, you will not do that. And that's exactly where he's going. It was tied directly to how a person would fare in the land, they're going into the promised land. He says, if you do this, God's going to bless you. Isn't that amazing? You can be a non-believer and honor your parents, and God will bless you because of that. That's what he said. That's exactly the way it is. People who were faithless to God and disregarding their parents would not last long in the promised land. God says, you know, I'll bless the ones who do what they're supposed to. The ones who do not, I will not. In the requisition of honor to parents lays the foundation for the sanctification of all social life, in that it teaches us to recognize a divine authority. There is someone over us, and it's our parents, good or bad, as we're going to see. And God says, you need to respect that, and you need to treat them with dignity always. And now, that is a lost thing when you see how young children talk to their parents. And if you teach them that respect, the rest of them say, what's wrong with y'all? Why are y'all making those kids? I told you the story about my sister when she moved to Atlanta, which is a foreign country now. She moved up there, and her husband took a job, and, you know, she'd been down here all her life. And one of the little neighborhood kids came over to play with Alex, and she was not from the South. And so she was, you know, they don't say yes, ma'am. They don't say no, ma'am. Yeah, no. And in that conversation, my sister says, how's your mom and them? And the little girl just kind of looked at her funny. And, you know, there's like 7 or 8 years old enough. And she said, uh-uh. I don't think my mama wants me to talk like that. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And they make fun of us. That's okay. But down here, you better understand, it's a respect issue. And, well, it used to get you in trouble at school. Now it doesn't get you in trouble anywhere, right? Especially not at school. Here, the government of an absolute majority would be absolute absurdity. Who's in charge? Mom and dad. Not the 2-year-old, not the 5-year-old. That is not an option here when he says this. He says, this is the authority figure. And as we said already, been looking at the God who's there, he left it with Adam first, and then it trickles down. God, you know, God's going to look at all of us dads. You know, is that politically correct for me to say fathers? It might not be anymore. What do you say? People who have children? Nope, because moms have children, so can you even say father anymore? I hate to tell you a situation. Some of you might have read about it. It was CNN, June 15th. Lord have mercy, in Paganville, Atlanta. That's where it took place. 24-year-old biological female woman was going through the process of changing gender, but decided that she wanted to have a child, so her and her transgender guy who was changing to a female quit all their medicines so she could conceive a child. So now she's conceived a child, and now she wants to raise the child as his father. Hello. Did y'all get all that? What? They not only fell off the common sense train, they rolled under it 4 or 5 times. Can you believe that? In Atlanta, 24-year-old, going to have a child, breastfed the child, but wants to raise the child, wants to go back and have the gender change and become the child's dad. We're in a mess, if you don't know that. So, I don't know, somebody might arrest me for saying fathers. Why? Because you leave someone out. You can't leave anyone out, right? Everybody wins. Isn't that right? Oh, you can't say, ladies and gentlemen. You just have to say y'all if you're in the South. If I don't know what you say in the North, you guys. No, that would be pigeonholing too, right? Well, what do you say? How you translate y'all in the North without just saying you guys? Anybody know? Everyone. There we go. All y'all. Yeah, but they don't understand that word. You guys. You guys. Still, I think they'd hit us on the guys. Oh, wait a minute. Even though he looks like a guy, he ain't a guy. We're in a mess. That's all I know. You know, I looked at a lot of the stats, and it's amazing with how many, it's only a third of fathers in America out of 64 million, only a third of those live in a relationship with a woman married that are raising children under 18. So you got 26 million compared to 65 million out there. Is that basically almost a half? And you look at the stats and you see how many of these kids are on WIC programs. Like 50% of them come from homes where there's no father in the house. It just goes down the line. When you look at the ones who have problems, 47% of their dads are incarcerated somewhere. was it 40% in the United States, kids whose dads do not live in the house with them will not see them in 365 days. Not even once in a whole year. That's the government census. That ain't just somebody trying to make it look bad, you know. What happened to that? Why? You know, as I said earlier, my dad, he raised four kids, and he was a logger and a farmer, and he worked at a Carrigouchen plant for some nights, did all kind of stuff. Had a fifth grade education. But people what? People learn respect. You know, he taught us that. Those things that we, now that we are, just because of what he taught us. So what happens is, the reason our kids are not there now is because dads, us, we drop the ball. You know, we teach them to play ball, and we run all over the world with them, and I teach them this, and that's fine. But listen, there's no baseball, there's no football, and there's no volleyball in hell or heaven. And the amount of time that they spend teaching them all those stuff and never even think about teaching them to honor and respect who God is, because one day they're going to face him, whether they believe they are or not. You know, that's the reality. You know, one day that's what's going to happen. Anyway, let me get off my soapbox. I hate sorry men. Can I tell you my personal opinion? Any man that is caught abusing their child should be beat about this close to the inch of their life. And if they do it again, just go ahead and kill them. That's what the Old Testament said, actually. And you eliminate some of that nonsense. There's no reason for that. And that's what I believe. Matter of fact, that's what the Old Testament said. And we're going to see it in just a moment. In Deuteronomy, now what happens? He gave the law in Exodus. A lot of things have happened now, and now Moses reiterates that after some time has passed. In Deuteronomy, he gives them the law a second time. Look what happens. Honor your father and mother as your Lord God has commanded you. Well, it was a command. And what? That your days may be prolonged, and that it may be well with you in the land which your Lord God gives you. And we'll see it in just a moment. It says, it's the first command with a promise. Here's the first one. It says, if you do this, I promise as God, you will get benefits just from honoring your parents, respecting your parents, understanding who they are. They're an authority in your life. You know why? When kids come here last week and they don't recognize any authority over them, because people in their family haven't taught them that. That's why you teachers at school have to deal with all the nonsense, because they respect no authority because no one's taught them that. And that's exactly what God's saying. And Jesus is going to bring it home really, really difficult in just a moment. The commandment commences with a positive injunction, but this time with the simple imperative of honor. Evidently, something went wrong in between Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, where God says, there's some things went wrong here, and you need to make sure you see this, because it's going to cost you if you don't. It is not something that can be commanded if it remains only an attitude. They have to learn to live it out. You know, you have to teach them. What does the Great Commission say? Teaching them to observe. It's not enough for someone just to intellectually say, well, yeah, I believe that. It has to be seen in their life. And if it's not seen in their life, we haven't fulfilled the Great Commission to tell people that Jesus alone changes their life. You know, my dad, he grew up drinking. You know, he was around it all of his life. He drank a lot of my life. He never abused us. He never cursed us. I never saw him do anything disrespectful with my mom. Whenever he drank, he wouldn't drink around us. He didn't want us to see him drinking. And so I guess that's why he would go off on the weekends with my uncle and just wouldn't come home. So when he came home Sunday night, he was all right. And they didn't go to bars and all that stuff. They just ride around and drink, all right? But what he did was this. He didn't have that attitude. And where did he learn that from? You know, he was doing a great job comparing to where he came from. You know, when you look at all those things and who his family was around him, he did an excellent job at raising kids with a fifth grade education and not knowing any, never seeing in his front view of someone living out what a good, godly father would be. You know, because he never took us to church. You know, I was a grown man when he started going to church. And Jesus changed his life in the end, thank the Lord. Very much in line with the underlying root meaning of the verb, to honor demands action. It means they have to do it. We have to teach our children, you have to not just think this, you have to see this in your life. You have to do it. You have to learn what that means. It is unmistakable reference to the initial disclosure of a covenant at Sinai, and no doubt the warning was added because something was going on is why he reemphasized it in Deuteronomy, because they were not listening and doing it in after Exodus chapter 20. So something happened in between. Now, honor your father. Half of our existence depends on him. Isn't that right? Good or bad? You know, I don't care what the feminists think or do. That's part of it. You know, that's just the way God created it. That's the way that works. With such a cultural emphasis today on individualism, sometimes we forget that we didn't just spring fully formed out of somewhere. Now we are so independent and we don't need anyone. Sometimes I wonder where people think they came from. Because we don't need anyone now. They needed someone one time. Parents were the first ones to nurture us and care for us. How long will a baby survive after he's born and just lay him out there on the table and nobody bother him? How long can you live like that? 3 or 4 days? I don't know if you can live that long. We forget that. We need to pause and think about, have you ever stopped to really think what your mom and dad did, or if it was just one parent that raised you, I don't know. What they did all those early years when you couldn't do anything for yourself. Sometimes we forget that. That's what that means, taking all this in consideration. Honoring those who took care of you when you couldn't do anything. When older guy died, and he was not a churchgoer and not a very good man, and the preacher, boy, he was up there preaching a sermon, and he was just waxing an elephant. You know, he was a great this, and he was a great that, and he took care of all this stuff. And about halfway through it, the mom reached over and told one of the oldest kids, says, go up there and make sure that's your daddy in that coffin. Because that doesn't sound like him. You know, the greatest legacy we can ever leave about our fathers would be that we respected them. Is we're going to see, doesn't mean they're always right, because they're never always right. The days and the nights they cared for us, this should remind us that the whole universe does not begin and end with me. Ask Laura. The kids who said the verses this week got an extra prize. But a lot of the kids said, well, I need to get one. You didn't say but one verse. Everybody wins. We don't teach our kids what it means to deal with life when you don't get what you want. You know, that's why they sit in the middle of the highway when the wrong president wins. That's why when they don't get their way, they pitch a fit. Why? Because I'm supposed to get my way. Part of this reminds us we are not the entity that this world begins with and ends with. We have to respect someone over us. And if you can't see that, and even the way this last thing's done with the president, there's nothing else clearer you can see. You won't ever find it any clearer. Absent parents ensure that a culture will come undone, as ours is happening. It's been happening, but boy, it's in epidemic proportions. Honor your father applies to what? Good and bad. Well, that's not what it says. It doesn't qualify that. You know, go back and look at what goes on with Paul. What does Paul say? Respect those God has put in authority. You mean what? Nero? Nero who had them killed? Nero, the Roman emperor who, you know, they all considered themselves, what was his name? Caligula, who was, he said, no, I'm a god, and had Roman pronounce him a god even before he died, but all the rest of them, they were emperors, they were pronounced as god after they died, but he said, no, I want it now. And Paul says, you mean honor these guys? That's what God said. At least respect that position. Even Nero, who would kill 800 and set them on fire at his party so they'd have lights for the party, even him, that's what Paul says. You don't have to say, well, I'll respect dad if he was a good dad. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. This does not mean that you agree with your father on everything he does. That's not what that means. We have to teach our kids to think. You know, we don't know what that means anymore, unfortunately. In a respectful manner, sometimes as one gets older, you might even have to speak up concerning their actions. And you may have to say, you know, Dad, I disagree with you. But that's, you don't have to be disrespectful when you do that. They're still your father or they're still your mother. Doesn't mean you do what they do. Honoring your father does not presuppose that every stage of your life. Once you get out of the house, if you ever get out of the house, as a grown person, what happens? I believe this is biblical. If you're staying under their roof, you abide by their rules or you get out. That's what I believe. And once you get out, whether you're single or whether you start your own family, you don't have to do everything your parents said. You might, you know, Proverbs, I think I put it in here somewhere, didn't I? Once you're out of the house, you're on your own, but we still listen to their instruction. Even a lost man or woman can give you some good advice if you just pay attention to it. But we're no longer children who just have to do everything they say once we get out of the house. Here it is. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions. My dad didn't become a believer till really, really, really late in life, but he had a lot of good stuff that he taught me while he was a non-believer. Why? And I was, you know, and this is not patting myself on the back, just thinking through all this the last few days, I don't ever remember disrespecting my father, even though I came to Christ as when really understanding as a junior in high school, and he still was drinking quite a bit then. And there were some things that went on, never abusive or anything like that. But I wasn't disrespectful, even though I disagreed with him. And he knew I disagreed with him. But you don't have to be. You can still say, you know, Dad, I love you. I disagree with you. I don't have to do exactly what you say in this regard. And sometimes you'll have to speak out, and that's exactly what it says. Is John, what happened? Well, you can tell us to do this. Sometimes you obey God over anybody else, absolutely. But if there's any chance at all, you show respect to that office of your father. The practical implications of honoring our father is that we treat them with respect. Again, it just burns me a new one whenever I see these kids talking back to their mom and daddy in a public place. I just want to strangle them myself. You ever feel that way? Why? Because we couldn't do that. You know, all they had to do was just look at us. Because we already know what would happen. You know, we didn't get many whippings. We got just enough to know when they do like this, that's all. That's all you want. You don't want what comes after that. So you need to teach your kids whenever you, that's all you have to say. You don't have to say anything. Especially in a public place, you don't rip them down and they, don't you just hate that? They just yell back and forth and the parents yell back and forth in a public place. And you're thinking, where in the world did you come from? What? Did you allow this? Okay, I'm fitting to get in trouble. Let me get on out of here. Honoring our fathers guarantees a promise. Wow. Deuteronomy, there it is again, that your days may be prolonged, that it may be go well with you in the land which your Lord God gives you. The key to societal stability is reverence and respect for parents and authority. See, that's where that comes from. We were taught to respect people older than us. Didn't have to be our mom and dad. It was a teacher. It was a principal. Anyone older than us, you know, we just saw, we respect them and as an authority figure over us. Within the borders of their territory, God expects parents not to tolerate juvenile delinquency. Wow. And you know the main cause of that is absentee fathers. And I mean absentee fathers. They may be living in the house, but they're not taking the leadership role in their family. Well, we're not going to make him. You make him go to school, don't you? You make him learn algebra, don't you? You make him do all that. Well, we're going to let him have that freedom to decide. And yeah, and he's going to bust hell wide open. And God's going to hold you partly accountable. Because you're an authority figure in their life. Well, you say, well, I don't believe in God. That really doesn't matter. One day you're going to stand before him, and he's going to ask you, why did you let this happen to the family? And then he's going to ask the son or the daughter. Everybody's going to be accountable, but he's going to come to us first. Guys, we have to teach our kids to honor their fathers. Wow. Which at heart is overt disrespect for parents and authority. In the Old Testament, severe consequences such as capital punishment. What? You're kidding. Look at this verse, Deuteronomy 21. If a man have a stubborn, rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not listen to him, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of the city and to the gate of this place. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn, rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of this city will kill him. Wow. How will that one go over in society? We can't even whip them. And here he says, what does he say? We're not going to tolerate juveniles. We're not going to tolerate people who do not respect some kind of authority. Where do we live right now? We don't respect policemen. We don't respect teachers. We don't respect anybody. Whose fault is it? We are supposed to teach them, guys. Us, the dads. You say, well, man, I messed up. Maybe you did. Just pray for God's grace and that he would turn them around before it's too late, before they raise your grandchildren that way. One of the reasons for the Babylonian exile, remember he takes them up and he sends them off to Babylon for 70 years. And one of the reasons was, according to Ezekiel, in you they have no respect for father and mother. What? Yeah. It had gotten so out of hand, he said, I'm going to punish all of you. And he took them into captivity for 70 years. And part of the reason was they disrespected their moms and dads. I don't know how old you are here, but if you're here and you have a habit of disrespecting your parents, you might want to check that out, because God's going to whip you. Either here or in the end, you're going to get it if we're disrespectful. Jesus deals with parent honor quickly. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses or his father or mother, how about that one? Let him die the death. Well, Jesus loves everybody. Every day's a Friday. Can't you see that? All that syrupy stuff. When have you ever heard him talk about something like that? You're not. Why? We don't want to see our responsibility as dads is to raise our children to respect other people. Wow. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, whose curse is father or mother, let him die the death. And quickly, I'm out of time. If you remember the situation, when in the same context of this paragraph, what Jesus is confronting is the Jews were not taking care of their parents, which was a no-no. And God said, no, you need to do this. And they said, oh, no, our money is Korban. Go back and look that up in Mark chapter 7, and you'll see what's going on there. They said, oh, no, because they could set their money aside, and it would only be used for temple or religious things, but the individual could pull it out and kind of use it for themselves. So they were really just taking advantage of the system, said, oh, no, we can't take care of our parents because that money is set aside, and if we give it at the right place, it'll help our reputation. You know, I want to be president of the bank, but I ain't going to take care of my mom and daddy. You know, I'm going to live in a 5-bedroom house with all this other stuff, but I'm not going to take care of my mom and daddy. He said, oh, no. And that's when he says, let them die the death. Why? Because God says, we're not going to tolerate it. Why? Quickly, I've surmised it for you. God is against social injustice, especially against parents, especially children. Listen to me. I don't care how old you are. He's against perversion. Go to Amos. Go to Isaiah, and you'll see, man, he doesn't like that on any part. But what he hates worse is when one is done for religious sake, we say, well, I can't. And we see it. Oh, we got to do this and this. We can't help take care of mom and daddy now. We got to do this. We got this lifestyle. And God's going to get us. When we're disrespectful, I'm not helping take care of our own parents. You know, I don't know where you are. You may have had a bad dad. Doesn't matter. He didn't say, respect your dad, honor your dad only if he was good. That's not what it says. And you may have to forgive your dad every day for some of the things he did or didn't do for you, but he still says, if you respect your parents, I'll bless you. Boy, do we need it. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you love us. Lord, thank you that you'll forgive not only our parents if they'll seek your face, but you'll forgive us if we've been disrespectful for our parents and we've shunned our responsibility to raise our children to fear you and respect their parents. Lord, just remind us how serious it is for fathers to be fathers and to go back and take our responsibility to ask our kids to forgive us if we've done wrong. And that, Lord, that you would intervene with mercy and grace and you would help it become what it should be for the generations ahead of us and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.